Cruising down the street, I wonder where this road would lead. So many possibilities. Care to share what you think? Oh, noodles, what do you see? Back Road Odyssey.
Van Life Diaries, 5 road trip audiobook recommendations. Welcome to Van Life Diaries. My name is Noah. It's just me, a microphone, my dog Noodles, and you hanging out today. No edits, no script. I'm on the road for many hours at a time, most every day. And to keep things interesting, well, I drive. And to feel some semblance of productivity, I literally listen to hundreds of audiobooks every year. Today, I'll share my top 5 picks for audiobooks while driving. I consider performance, content, and writing quality of each book, and I dive into a bunch of different genres with this list. So let's get going. At the end, we'll take listener questions, but until then, I'm going to grab a drink. If you're in a position to do so as well, go grab a drink and let's hang out. Let's talk great audiobooks. All right, cheers. Number 1, Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. This book covers Trevor Noah's early life in the twilight of apartheid in South Africa. And not only is it tremendously funny, tremendously insightful, both in terms of context in South Africa in that time, but in just somebody's attempts to enjoy life. And that's what this book is. It's him growing up, his relationship with his mom, funny stories with his community, his attempts to reconnect with his dad, and eventually him pursuing a career as a comedian. Whether you watch The Daily Show or not, whether you've listened to his stand-up comedy, whether you even know who he is, I would genuinely recommend this book. Number 2, Mythos by Stephen Fry. The stories that he tells are Greek myths, but they read as narratives. And the way that he performs it, the way that he brings every story to life, transcends genre in a way. You just kind of get transfixed. It's a bit longer than most books that I would recommend, but what he does that I find super interesting is he'll stop. And then he'll be like, oh, by the way, we got our word, a word that we use every day, from this in Greek mythology. It's a way to learn, but also a deeply, deeply immersive experience. Number 3, A Story of English in 100 Words by David Crystal. It's a great, great audiobook for those who despise audiobooks. And if you're listening to this, props to you. If you don't like audiobooks and you're listening to this recommendation list, I hope this recommendation helps you. It's in the title. You have 100 words that have influenced the English language, and this, I guess I'd call him a linguist, goes over them and why they're influential, the history behind each of these words. He goes over the word pork, the word and, the word matrix, everything from the start of English to new words that we say now in 5 minutes or less. If you are just commuting to work, this is a great stop and start novel, very well read, very well researched, and I'll stop there. Number 4, we are about to get deep. For those who like audiobooks, like history, like philosophy, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humanity by Yuval Noah Harari, is the book for you. I would describe it as history through a philosopher's eyes. A lot of times, history books get bogged down by names and dates, and that kind of is what draws me away from history. What I'm trying to do with the podcast, interestingly, is simplify all of that. And I think this book does this brilliantly. It starts, you know, at the very start of humanity and goes through different concepts, different ideas, in a way that's not as specific as you wouldn't want it to be. It's not a history textbook at your high school. I've listened to it twice because the ideas in it are just that digestible. They're just that great. So I would definitely recommend. Finally, and maybe most self-indulgently, we have So Anyway by John Cleese. If you enjoy people performing their own books, if you enjoy people writing their own material, if you enjoy Monty Python, comedy in general, creativity, this is a very, very interesting book because John talks about writing comedy. He talks about the difficulties in being silly in a world that is tremendously messed up a lot of the times. And he has a very wise, funny voice. But he goes over his early life, how he went to study law, then ended up in Monty Python and writing comedy. It's very interesting. And this is a man who things just kind of happened to him. He didn't really actively seek anything out. And I think that in itself, as well as his very humorous voice and well-written prose, as they say, it's worth the listen, and it's not a long listen too, so I'd recommend that as well. Before we get to questions, I have one final bonus. The History of the World in Six Classes by Tom Standage is fantastic. It basically covers, what is it, tea, coffee, beer, wine, whiskey, and there's one more that I'm definitely missing, but it talks about how each of these drinks influenced historical events, which is not only fascinating, but awesome. A cola. That's the last one. Very quick and fascinating. Now, with that said, let's get to questions. Why didn't you mention Increase Mather or Cotton Mather in either Salem episode? Fantastic question. And this kind of coincides with what I was saying earlier about the specificity sometimes of history and how that can convolute what the story is supposed to be about. So my episodes are probably 12 to 17 minutes long, and the Salem Witch Trials are an all-encompassing, very, very detailed story with a lot of characters, with a lot of concepts. I really wanted to zone in on what was important about this period in history. And for those of you who don't know, Cotton Mather and Increase Mather were both very important in influencing the people of Salem, people around of Salem, Massachusetts colony, in terms of witches, spectral evidence, all of that stuff. But I wanted to impart in 17 minutes, not the names of certain individuals necessarily, but concepts of a very important part of history. So that's the reason. If I had an hour podcast, I definitely would have gotten into both of these very actually fascinating people. But yeah, I think the length definitely was a contributing factor and not including those two Mathers. Would you recommend going to Danvers instead of Salem? Okay, so Danvers is former Salem Village. That's where the first accusations happened. That's where I recorded some of the episode from. No. No, I think sometimes it can come across as me saying you shouldn't go to Salem. There are so many fascinating places to go in modern Salem. There's historical places that are very interesting. What I was trying to get across is there are also important locations around where people normally go, and Danvers happens to be one of those places. Do you think something like the witch trials in Salem could happen today? Yes and no. I think what happened in Massachusetts colony in 1692 was very specific to the times, to the seclusion of some of the colonies, to the puritanical, I don't want to say theocracy, but that's basically what it was at the time. It was transitioning more into a mercantile collective mind frame from everyone. But at this time, it kind of was the last holdout of Puritans basically running the show. So I think that's tremendously unique to 1692 Salem. With that said, I think that what happened at Salem was very human. You know, the feelings they felt, the actions they took come from a very human place of fear, of jealousy, of courage, conservation. So where I think what happened in Salem was tremendously unique, I wouldn't necessarily say that it was a one-off, if that makes sense, because humanity has an enduring quality behind it of repeating triumphs, repeating mistakes. I don't think we change much. I think their surroundings around us do. So that's, I hope I answered your question with that. I was kind of going all over the place, but let's keep going. Can you do an episode on your van? I absolutely will. Yeah, I'll plan on that. That's a great idea, actually. What is the legacy of Salem, the Salem Witch Trials, today? I have so many things that I want to say, but it keeps coming back to this. The more you look into the Salem Witch Trials, the more you go to the locations where all of these atrocities happened, all of these stories happened, the more weirdly, because it gets more bizarre the more you look into it, but the more human it becomes, because I keep going back to this. You look at context. You look at everything that was going on. It was, in so many ways, deeply uncomfortable, repressive, uncertain time. So of course, people are going to act bizarrely in these circumstances. I won't say definitively for everybody, but for me personally, the Salem Witch Trials remind me of the flaws that I have as a human and the responsibility I have to correct and improve those flaws. Don't crush people with rocks over the course of a couple days. Maybe don't. Maybe that's a lesson. Thank you for listening to Van Life Diaries. I appreciate your time. If you find value in what we do, please rate, review, and subscribe. Taking a minute genuinely helps the show grow and helps us continue to tell the stories, the quality of the stories that we'd like to tell. I have a feeling that next week we'll be visiting some owls in people's front lawns, but who is to say? Be good to each other. Don't crush people with rocks, and where to next?
Back Road Odyssey.